Hello again, and welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. I'm Kevin, the host. True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is, as always, your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker dealer depository service. Been in business about 20 years, always buying and selling all forms of precious metals, scrap gold, jewelry, diamonds, coin collections, estates, offering investment guidance, wealth and capital preservation specialists, precious metals portfolio expertise. We offer the highest rated depository service in a very broad region, privately held, very confidential, anonymous, something you don't have to worry about being on the grid. This is your own private storage, very secure, one of the finest facilities nationwide. We have extremely secure protocols in our handling of all of the stuff we have. We store a substantial amount of wealth for our individual clientele, and it is an extremely secure and well-armed facility. So Coins Plus can be reached at 444-0044 locally. Outside of our area, toll-free, 877-TAP-COIN. The local area, of course, is Spokane, Washington, Eastern Washington. And outside is wherever else. And we can be contacted through our website at coinsplus.com, where we do respond to messages. We like to call people back as much as possible. We also offer all of the previously recorded radio material on our website. You can download it or listen to it there. And Coins Plus is a high-volume, low-margin dealer. That means that we want to do a lot of business at a very fair, low, fair price, nationally competitive. And honesty, integrity, and professionalism in every transaction is our motto. That's what we shoot for. We're straight up. I think I may have mentioned last week we had a situation where apparently there was a robbery in Spokane, and the people who conducted the robbery went to another place up the road to sell the stuff, and that person wanted to trap them, so he told them he didn't have any money, and he sent them here, and he also simultaneously called the police, and then we were able to trap them and catch them. But the thing that stumped me is I was talking to the police officer and I said, look, I don't understand why we didn't know about this. And he told these other places, a few other places about it. And I said, why don't you tell us? And he said, well, they get all the junk. They get all the bad stuff. And I said, yeah, we're the highest buyer in the area. I still don't understand why you don't tell us. He said, you're Coins Plus is, he goes, you're very reputable. He said, we, the police, are literally in these other shops every week, you know, chasing down stolen goods. Apparently they're constantly buying this stuff. I was unaware of this. And he said, we never, ever have to come here. He said, you just aren't getting that kind of clientele. He said, your clientele is a lot better quality, you know, blah, 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 whatever. As a business owner, that was a compliment to us. I felt good about that. I was glad to hear that. A while ago, we heard the same thing from another police officer who walked in. He had some questions on something. He wanted to get it appraised, and he looked around. He goes, this place is beautiful. And we said, thanks. And he said, I never even get in here. He goes, this is all I do is chase down secondhand goods, stolen stuff. And he goes, I've never been here. He goes, I don't even know about you guys. And he said, well, that's crazy. You know, you guys must do a good job of avoiding that stuff, and I guess we do. That's our goal. We just don't radiate any indication to these people that we have any desire. If we have any suspicion, if we feel uncomfortable at all, I mean, we just pass. We just don't deal with it. That is not who we want to be. We want to just be above board. And I told the employees after that, I said, that is a good thing to hear from the police. I said, you know, our goal is to spend our lives without what I've referred to as any skeletons in the closet. We want to walk the high road, do the good thing. Unlike when, you know, Michelle Obama says when they go low, we go high. That's not the case. They're very filled with false pride, which is very disappointing. And as I've watched today, this so-called speech from Obama, who's a beat pup, you talk about a spin doctor. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, he's talking like the president can't accomplish anything in that office and Trump won't get anything done. And he's carrying on about how hard it is to make decisions. Basically saying he never had to make decisions before he was in there, and he's got to make all these decisions, and they're all, there's no easy answer, and they're all based on probability. And he's trying to imply that Trump is just going to struggle. He's going to struggle with this decision making because it's so tough. There's no right answer, he says. Well, there is a right answer if you're not an ideologue. And Obama did say today, one of his compliments, offhanded compliments towards Trump, was that after meeting with him, he realizes that Trump is going to approach the position from a very pragmatic point of view, versus being an ideologue. And he said that's good. The problem is that Obama was probably one of the most extreme ideologues to ever hold that office. And I mean that. I mean, he was absolutely, everything was pushed through a radical socialist black liberation theology agenda. Now all of a sudden he wants to calm down and act like, hey, you know, I'm this easygoing guy, I'm everybody's buddy. But when he says that Trump is pragmatic, pragmatic is when you're dealing with things sensibly and realistically in a way that is based on the practical application rather than theoretical considerations. Well, Obama is a professor, an idealistic, radical, left-wing, anti-American professor. Do not forget this. The people gave a significant, a very significant mandate to Donald Trump. And they want to spin it around and say that Hillary won the popular vote and he won the electoral vote. I have two responses to that, and I hope you listen and understand this. If people say Hillary won the popular vote, here's the facts. There's two facts you need to understand. Number one, okay, you've got to realize it. She actually didn't, and here's why. When poll counting takes place in any precinct, and it's precinct by precinct, so it's very small. So you can get some huge number skewing precinct to precinct. So here's what happens. So they start counting polls, and all, if there's a drastic win by an individual like Trump, say he wins a precinct by 75,000 votes, but there's 25,000, or in one case I saw, you know, there's multiple examples, but these are real examples. He wins a precinct by 75,000 votes, and yet there's 26,000 mail-in ballots, absentee ballots that have not been counted. 26,000. Now, absentee ballots are technically, or typically 75 to 80% Republican. Republicans tend to do mail-in a lot more than Democrats. Can't tell you why, just the way the numbers fall. So you have all these millions and millions of uncounted absentee ballots across the U.S., which will never be counted. Why? Because he won by 75,000, and there's only 26,000 in one case. Well, it wouldn't matter if all those were for Hillary. Trump still wins because he's up by 75,000. So the nation is filled with literally millions and millions and millions of these absentee uncounted ballots that would run 75 to 80% for Trump, which would instantly flip that over. Secondly, if the election is run by an electoral system, how do you think you campaign? You campaign for the electorate. Okay, you don't campaign for popular vote. You campaign by the set rules. So the problem is the rules are in place. The Trump organization did a beautiful job of campaigning based on a set of rules. They won under that set of rules. And then the liberals start to go, oh, wait, but if we had a different set of rules, I'd have won. Well, it doesn't matter. We didn't have a different set of rules. He won fair and square under the set of rules that were given. So please understand, If someone you know says she won the popular vote, say no, she did not. There are millions and millions of uncounted absentee ballots out there because Trump had already won so handily in these precincts that even if all of them were counted, it still wouldn't have mattered, so they scrap them. And 75 to 80% of all absentee ballots go Republican. And two, yes, he won by the electorate system because that was the system that he played under. To say, well, if we had a different set of rules, we'd have won. Well, that's just stupid. Okay, in football, if they said, well, you know, if a kickoff was worth 4 points and a turnover was worth 7 points, we'd have won the game. Well, you know, it isn't. So it doesn't matter. So I hope you get my point there. There was a definite mandate handed down. The thing that I find absolutely beautiful about the Trump behavior is how he's just absolutely mellowed right out. Everybody around him was like, this is not the guy we know. But Sansu in The Art of War says, ferocious in battle, magnanimous in victory. So what he says is, if you go to war, you just slaughter. But the minute you win, you are a man of strict humility and absolute kind compassion. That is the way of God. That is the way of the Bible. I believe, hands down, that despite the fact that Trump is not a born-again believer, that he absolutely was hand-chosen by God to be the leader of this nation. The Bible is very clear about that. And he also chose Obama for a season. Why? Because we got the president that we deserved, not the president we needed. We had to see the other way. The people that have a brain got to see socialism in practice. Now, the people that don't have a brain will never get it. Socialism doesn't work. Our founding fathers were awesome. They were brilliant. We have a system that works. You know, I mean, the garbage spewing out of Obama's mouth right now after Trump has won is terrible. Obama took runs at Bush when he was after he won that were terrible. I mean, terrible. George Bush was a good man. I mean, there's no doubt about that. There's nothing about him that indicates he was a bad man. He was a good man. Was he a little naive? I think so. Was he idealistic? A little bit. But what he was an optimist. And I think he believed in people. And I think he eventually got his spirit crushed. And I think the nice thing about Trump is he knows going in. I remember Bush went in his first four. He said, I'm going to win the other side over. I'm going to reach across the aisle. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. He found out rapidly that the left is vicious. Look at how they are responding. What message is being sent to our children, folks? You just think about this. What message is this ridiculous behavior being sent to our children? First of all, we have all these radical protesters, idiots, that are out there, you know, with signs that say no person is illegal. What they're saying is you can't call an illegal immigrant an illegal because no person is illegal. Garbage, 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 garbage. Where's the common sense in this country? Trespassing is illegal. If you trespass, you've broken the law. It's a federal offense. We have not been enforcing. Trump says we're going to secure the border, and then we are going to deal with illegal immigrants. Now, what's he going to do? He's going to deal with hardened, violent criminals and get them out. He says there's at least 2 million, maybe 3, maybe more. But he's going to find out. And he's going to get rid of them. Now, that's a beautiful thing. What good is that? What good is it to have illegal immigrants that are violent felons in our country? It's garbage. Folks, you have to realize, and I hope I'm preaching to the choir, these people, a lot of them, those kind of people don't care about our nation. The reason they left Mexico is because they had used up all their chances down there legally. Then they come up here and break the laws. They have no respect for the rule of law. We don't want them. We want people that love America. Now, if we set up a system, and believe me, I wish I could be president, but I can't. But if we set up a system that says, okay, first we're securing the border, that's what they always say, and they're right. You can't start a program of resolution until you seal the stinking border, because they just keep coming in. And so we set up a program that basically allows them a path to citizenship with commitment, you know, make them buy it, make them earn it, folks. You know, things are worth what you pay for them. I had my nephew and a friend up this weekend, and we went out to breakfast at, you know, they were doing some work for us around the house, helping us get ready for Christmas. And they were talking about the Bernie Sanders thing and the free college stuff. And I said, do you realize how ridiculous that is? Nothing of quality in life is free. I said, if you pay nothing for your college education, what do you think it is worth? And they both said nothing. I said, thank you. If something is free, it's worth nothing. This isn't like you're, you know, and then if everybody gets a college degree free, guess what? Now you got to have a college degree to go get a job. A college degree was supposed to be a special commodity, not a right. And we have got to get off of this idea in America that we have a bunch of obligated entitlements, that we're owed something, that we're due something. Now, what we need to do in America is open the pathway, open the door to success. We need to stop regulation, hyper-regulation. And we need to stop overtaxing and burdening businesses. We've got to make it possible for somebody with a dream to go out and live it. And to be frank, folks, there is a lot of companies that are just creating these massive, massive, unreasonable monopolies. We have got to figure out how in the world to balance the internet power with American strategy. The internet is a complete realignment of everything. I have a serious problem with Google. Google controls information at a level that you do not even fathom. They are the number one media source in the world. They're the number one disseminator of information globally. They control it. They absolutely control what you get for hits when you search, if you're looking for gold, whatever you want. It's just they give you a few options. If you're looking for a roofer in Spokane, it used to be that you would open your phone book under roofers and there's a string of them. Now you go roofer under Google and you get three hits at the top that are the same guy because he's paying $1,400 a month to get it. And then you'll get a few more and you're done. You don't even know if these people are good. In our business, the problem that people fall for all the time is we have one of the finest brick and mortar facilities in the nation. We offer a full depository service. The level of security and legitimacy at Coins Plus is second to none. So people go on TV or the radio and they hear an ad, if you want the cheapest gold in the world, call Westminster Gold, Westminster Gold, you know, blah, blah, blah. Call them. See if what they say is true. It's a racket. You know, I've called these places just to see, you know, what they do. And they'll say, oh, American Gold Eagles are six. What do you charge for them? 6%. Okay, well, you know, that's a little higher than normal, but that's fine. So if gold's $1,200 an ounce, what's the price? And she'll go 6%. No, I want to know the price. It's just 6%. No, give me the price. So all of a sudden she says like $1,364. I go, that ain't 6%, honey. That's 13. Well, yeah, we got to make money too. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Well, our cost is 6%. And then we got to pay another 6%. We got to charge another 6%. And it's like, so you're lying to people. People don't know that you're lying to them and you're deceiving. And like these companies that will beat the price, Roslyn Capital or whatever it is, will you beat the price of any coin anywhere in the world at any time, any blah, blah, blah. My garbage. Sorry, folks. Not the case. You can't do it. You can't do it. Now, it's just a bait and switch. So we called and asked them on some different coins. So here's their answer. You don't want that. You want this. No, I want prices on a high relief St. Gaudens. I want prices on an $18.34 $5 Liberty, you know, and I gave him a few coins. No, 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 no. You don't want that. You don't want that. You want this new proof modern blah, blah, barfy, you know, overpriced junk. No, I don't. What happened to the beat the price on any price? Well, we don't have those in stock. Oh, so you can't beat the price of any coin. We can beat the price of any coin you have in, they have in stock. I says, okay, so let's talk about $20 gold pieces. How about our Mint State 63 St. Gaudens? He starts the, well, depends on the year. I said, okay, 1924. Well, you know, and then I keep talking and talking and talking, and all of a sudden he's like 17% higher than we are. Well, how is that beating the price of any, you know, whatever? I mean, it's just deception. 1% over dealer cost from Merit Financial. Well, when you call them, what they really mean is we put in all the overhead and all of our expenses and all of our advertising and all of our personnel expenses into our business formula or whatever they call it, and then that's our dealer cost. Our dealer cost is basically the cost to run the entire business. Then we go 1% over that. In other words, you already packed in your profit and everything else, and then you add an extra 1%. So really 1% over dealer cost to these guys could be, it's like 35%, just like Goldline used to tell you. Goldline used to sit on the radio and tap dance around and say, you know, that they make up to 39%, and people were still dumb enough to do it. 39%? You take your 401k at $150,000 and hand $60,000 off to Goldline, and that's 39% over retail. We don't even have retail. We have wholesale bid and ask. Everything we buy and sell is based on wholesale. The thing about our industry you need to understand is what we deal in is hard liquid assets. We're good at it. We can build portfolios that are awesome. I've been doing this a long time. There's things that might not make a lot of sense to you. You'll go, why would I want a roll of, you know, those kinds of silver quarters, or why would I want an uncirculated roll of silver Morgan dollars? Or, you know, you might not understand when I say, you know, you want to get this gold typeset that's going to have a nice mint state, you know, from the 1800s, a $5, $10, $20, both the Liberty and the St. Gaudens. And, you know, you may not understand it, but you don't have to. What you need to understand is, do you trust us? And do we have experience? Of course. So that's where, you know, we are applying our knowledge to you. It is so important to us. I cannot reiterate. It's so important to us that we do the right thing. That's what I live by, folks. I don't have a crystal ball, but I've got wisdom and experience from years of doing what I do. And 401ks and IRAs. I mean, folks, you've got money. In a 401k or IRA, it's pre-tax contribution. We all do it because it's the American way. But if you really think about it, what the only reason it makes any sense is if you buy stock. If you want to spend the rest of your life in a deceptive stock market, then go for it. Because you are going to pay, first of all, you're never going to make profit. And then you're going to pay taxes on the profit you've never made. Now, granted, we've seen the, you know, the stock market since Trump got elected looking pretty darn good. But it's all short-term speculation. You know, Trump, the businessman, make America great again. Yes, I believe it. But the problem is with stocks, you know, I don't want to spend a ton of time on it, but basically these indexes are artificial, okay? They are deceptive, and you don't make money like the people that are on the inside do. When this stuff starts going on, there are people ripping it up. But you at the end, when you buy and hold, there's only certain things you want to buy and hold. And those are assets. Those are items that are of eternal wealth and worth. You've got to remember where we're at in this country, how we got there. We are not out. We have been deceived. Folks, we are not in a situation where it's all better now. We're in a situation where we have a disaster and we finally have a man who can at least look at it and start to make some good decisions. But this is not even going to be close to being fixed overnight, nor will it be fixed in an 8-year program. The problem in this country is that we are infiltrated by Marxism, okay? I did a few shows in the past about Marxist or, you know, social Marxism, Marxist socialism or, you know, whatever, cultural Marxism. That's what it was. How Marxism has infiltrated itself into our every being. You talk to a lot of these kids, folks, they're stupid, I'm sorry, but they don't have a dang clue. It's just a big free load, free ride lunch. These protesters out there, you know, their logic doesn't work. You can't run a country like that. We are not the Red Cross. America is not. America is the strongest, most powerful, most impressive country in the history of the world, and that is how we need to operate. And we need to realize the other big deception, you know, that just continues on and on and on. The 80s started with the, there are no absolutes. There's no true evil, and there's no true good. You know, and we went this all the way through the Clinton era, and then what? Bam, we get 2001, 9/11. Oh, maybe there is evil. Gosh, that didn't look too good, you know? And now we're being infiltrated by the most evil religion in the history of the world, Islam, which is just an extension of Baal worship. And yet we want to embrace them with our open arms of love. Their religion forbids freedom of religion. Our country commands freedom of religion. If you have a religion that says freedom of religion cannot exist, or especially cannot coexist with our religion, we will force you to submit or die. It doesn't belong here. The radicalization, that term they use for Islamic jihadists, is just meaning that somebody read the stinking Quran and believed it. That's it. It's that simple. You cannot get that out of the Bible. They will miscue, misquote. Obama did this garbage going back to, you know, Old Testament Levitical behavior. Well, and it's like, well, and people go, oh, the Bible contradicts itself so bad. You know, in the Old Testament, you got all this violence, and then Jesus says this. And man, it makes all the sense in the world. God had a core group of his people he wanted to preserve. And, you know, that was a different time. You cannot apply knowledge from today to thousands of years ago. They had to slaughter and kill and destroy to preserve Israel, period. And that's why they're still here today. And then the Pharisaical piety became so corrupt and disgusting, it peaked out around the time of Christ's appearance. And God timed all this stuff perfectly, and he mopped it up. He said, those days are gone. I am the Messiah. I will die, shed my blood from the cross, pay the price, and you will have direct access to the God of the universe. Through me, you'll be forgiven for all your sins. It's over. He said on the cross, it is finished. So all that Old Testament stuff that they spin at us, those were examples of the necessity of the law. The law has been fulfilled. That means now you can live by the law, and if you don't make it, you fail, you are forgiven. You now have the Holy Spirit. Instead of telling you what you can't do, Jesus tells you what you can do. We went from the can't of the Old Testament to the can of the New Testament. Now we are empowered. We are liberated. What has Jesus done for the earth? Do you know, without Jesus, this earth would be a burnt char. He brought hope and light and life and liberty to the planet Earth. There are so many people that are experiencing freedom and civil rights that never would have. And the pinnacle of that is the United States of America. Now, people don't realize that during much of the, you know, the Middle Ages, you know, there was some of the Catholic government, civilization, if you want to call it, whatever you want to call it, colonialization, Obama would call it. There are good things there. They went into very dark, nasty places. If you've seen, I think it's called Armageddon or something, I don't know, Apocalypto by Mel Gibson. He really highlights that by the time the Spaniards showed up in South America, the Aztecs were a corrupt people. Corrupt is too nice. They were a filthy, rotten, vile group of people. They were the descendants of the Canaanites, which engaged in Baal worship. They were sent over by King Hiram of Tyre and Solomon during the, you know, the Solomon reign. They were sent to look for gold. They shipwrecked or chose to stay, whatever it may be, and they began to reproduce, and they began to apply these laws, if you want to call them that, this religion, and it's terribly destructive. The land is cursed. It's very, very bad. And this is what the Spaniards found. It was dark. The stupid historians, they apply irrelevancies with a lack of context. You know, the Crusades were not all evil and bad. And the amount of deaths purported by the Crusades are a minute fraction to those under the Mohammedan movement. People don't realize the Mohammedan movement, that's the big Islamic rule and reign around 1100 AD, killed over 20 million Indian Hindus that would not convert. There are cities where the soil has an inch of gray matter from all the destruction and killing and blood. And folks, they used to build hills of skulls. The man with the largest mountain of skulls would rule and reign. This is the Mohammedan movement. They killed people, and this is what they want. You've got examples in Rwanda, Somalia. I mean, it's everywhere they go. It's the same old stuff. It's dark evil. Darkness rules and reigns. And this is what we're up against. And we are also up against the God of the Bible, because the ideology, the idea, the experiment of America is the greatest in the history of planet Earth. It was God's pinnacle thing. But then when we go back and we look at 9/11, folks, it was profound. I have bounced through this on the radio over the years, and I don't know if everybody understands my position on this. I personally believe that the destruction of the trade towers was the destruction of the mystery Babylon in the Bible. It's interesting because Revelation is not chronological. It is very haphazard, and it goes in little chapters that bounce around with different themes. And yet, the last event described in Revelation is the destruction of Mystery Babylon. But it's not chronological. The book is not, but it's one of the last stories, and then it says heaven rejoiced, and then it starts talking about heaven. The problem is that we are in a time fix that God gave us. His time is different than ours. If you look at Revelation 17 and 18, and I'll buzz through it real quick, then one of the seven angels who had seven bowls came and spoke with me, saying, "Come here, I'll show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed acts of immorality." Now, real quick, you've been to New York? There's so many symbolic issues here. First of all, New York is an island surrounded by water, Manhattan. The World Trade Centers were right there. Biggest ports in the world, biggest trade, you name it. But waters also means people. Many people, it says later, he'll define it. With whom the kings of the earth committed acts of immorality, and those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her immorality. Now, people don't realize Hollywood started in New York. So much filth is pumped out of New York. New York is the cesspool of the world. I'm sorry. There's good business stuff going on there, maybe, but all the homosexuality and all the drug trade, all the sex trade, it's just filth. It's foul filth. It's a big money grubbing pit. There's a ton of immorality in New York. It's a tough place. It's not a good place overall. And from a business perspective and a trade perspective, it is the hub of the world. It's the most powerful, greatest city on earth. It just is, and it was. Now, that power is being transferred post 9/11, but that's just what it was at the time. So it says, "And those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her immorality. And he carried me away in the spirit into a desert. And I saw," now we're in the desert, right? Well, gee, that makes kind of sense. "And I saw a woman riding or sitting on a scarlet beast." A scarlet beast is a corrupt government system. It's a red system. Communism is red. Scarlet Beast means blood-soaked system, a powerful one-world system. It's basically the definition of Islam. Because Islam infiltrates governments, Islam integrates. And in the United States of America, we said government and religion must remain separate. People have twisted that and screwed that up so bad. And the reason was so that your religious liberty is never compromised, not so that it's stripped away, but that so it is given. So this scarlet beast is Islam. Now, God knew this before we did. Post 9/11, we see the rise of Islam. We didn't even know. And he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast full of blasphemous names, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was clothed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. There's a lot of things I could touch on. I won't till we get a little further on. Having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and of the unclean things of her immorality. And on her forehead a great name was written, a mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. Now, here's one thing we got to look as we go forward. People look at Mystery Babylon as a nation, as a city, what? Okay, we don't know, but I think we do. It's going to call it a city. It's not the nation of America. It's not even the city of New York. It's kind of getting close to the financial district of New York. But the World Trade Centers were just that. It was right in the heart of the financial district of the United States of America for the whole world, the Federal Reserve. All of it took place right there. World Trade Center. We were pumping filth all around the globe. So it goes and it says, I will tell you the mystery. And the angel said to me, why do you wonder? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. The beast that you saw was, now think about this, the beast that you saw was and is not and is about to come up out of the abyss and go to destruction. So here's the deal, folks. We read the Old Testament. What do we see? As the religion against the Bible, against God. It's Baal worship, correct? So in the Old Testament, Baal worship was what Moses was fighting with and whatnot. Now, when this was written around the time of Christ, where was Baal worship? It was gone. It was over. It had fallen. It had disappeared. It had gone into dormancy. So when he wrote this, he said this beast system was, it is not now, but he says what? It will come back. It was, it is not, and is about to come up out of the abyss, etc. So what happens? 500 AD, Muhammad comes on the scene, and he invents Islam. He resurrects Baal worship. He goes and he searches for a god to give him support, if you know the whole history, and he finds the god of the moon god, Allah, and that is the god of Baal worship, and he resurrects Baal worship. So that's what this is talking about. And those who dwell on the earth, whose name has not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, will wonder when they see the beast that he was and is not and will come. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. And there are seven kings. Five have fallen. One is. The other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must remain a little while. The beast, which, and we, you know, that still hasn't been all spelled out yet. We don't know if that king was Obama. We don't know who that was. The beast was and is not, is himself also an eighth and is one of the seven, and he goes to destruction. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but they receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. These have one purpose, and they give their power and authority to the beast, to the system, to the Islamic-led global system. These will wage war. This is the key part here where we're going. These will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are the called and chosen and faithful. So a war is coming. and it's going to be Islam against Christianity. And that's where we're going now. People are becoming less ashamed of their faith. I'm not ashamed. Are you ashamed? No. You're proud of it. You know, a lot of good things have happened. We've got, I mean, when you go politically in this nation, we've got a little cleanup crew back in D.C., let's hope. We've got all three governments, branches of government, are ready to do something right for this great nation. Why? Because Obama showed them how to get together and do something wrong. He showed them how to be bold. He showed them how to be powerful and how to apply things. And I mean, he abused things, but you know what? It's time we do it for what is right. I cannot understand, folks. I can't even comprehend the liberal mindset. It's just my brain. It's like, it's all twist and lies. It's like, you don't care about people. You don't love people. Folks, I'm going to be completely honest with you. I mean, my wife and I are severely charitable. We give a lot and all over the place and in situations you'd never guess. Not because the government makes me. In fact, I get sick when I have to give all this money to the government in tax because I know I could do so much better with it. The $833,000 a year per job created is the government's number. I mean, come on, folks. Somebody who pays $2.5 million in taxes over 10 years, that provided three government jobs. Someone who took that same $2.5 million over 10 years and built a commercial building will literally employ hundreds of people for a couple of years. That is the difference. I mean, it is a waste pit. Let's hope Trump is God's chosen man. Let's hope he's the answer to some prayers, right? So they're going to wage war, and the Lamb's going to win. And he said to me, the waters, this is important, which you saw where the harlot sits. Now, this is a harlot just sitting somewhere. Are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Well, what country, folks, is the melting pot of the world? America. What's the heart of the melting pot? New York. You might say L.A. L.A. is full of Hispanics. It's got a mix of others, but not like New York. New York just has it all. And it's had it all. We're getting more and more and more of this illegal immigration and stuff, but New York was it. Every race all mixed up. God can't. In the Bible, God always refers to a nation by the land, and he refers to people by their nationality. In this case, he can't. It is a melting pot. So it is the great mystery Babylon, right? Babylon was the center of world trade in the Old Testament, destroyed by God. But now, this is the new mystery Babylon. Mystery because there is no people to call it their own. And the ten horns which you saw, and the beast, these will hate the harlot, okay, the Muslims, and they'll make her desolate and naked, and they'll eat her flesh and burn her up with fire. Well, that's what they did to 9/11, the trade centers. For God had, now there's a whole other conspiracy there who was involved. You know, there's so much spiritual composition. I'm not getting into that right now. For God has put it in their hearts to execute his purpose by having a common purpose and by giving their kingdom to the beast until the words of God will be fulfilled. All these kingdoms in the Middle East have been given over to this beast system. They've been all given over to Islam, have they not? God's allowed that. Why? They have been his arch enemies since day one. You have this teeny little microscopic sliver of land called Israel, and these people are the most ferocious beasts surrounding her, and she somehow remains strong and isolated in the most brutal place on earth. Darkness reigns and rules supreme there. The woman whom you saw is what? The great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. New York, the financial district of New York, folks. It rules the globe. Not quite as much now. It does, but not in the same way it used to. But it does. Trust me, it does. There's absolutely no question about it. So when we go on to Revelations 18, that was the end of 17. It says, after these things, This is where we get into real specifics. I'm going to kind of highlight them as I go. I don't have a lot of time, but I want people to know this. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illumined with his glory. He carried out with a mighty voice saying, and I'm going to just kind of highlight as I go, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. Okay, fallen, fallen. It's the only spot in the Bible where we go double, double. Okay, we got two, just double, a double statement. Not just fallen is Babylon the Great, but fallen, fallen. Very important. Two buildings go down in less than 1 hour. She has become a dwelling place of demons and a prison of every unclean spirit and a prison of every unclean bird and unclean and hateful bird. And birds are representative of evil and all this stuff. For all the nations have drunk the wine of the passion of her immorality. So we've got immorality, passion, you know, just that drive to sin, that elevation of sin and how great it is and how wonderful it is. And, you know, all this, you know, pornography and even our rated R movies and our filthy music and just our general lifestyle and the way we dress with girls having their butt cheeks hanging out. And, you know, I mean, come on. Remember, we've introduced all these different clothing programs where girls have shorts or pants that went down so low they'd have to completely shave themselves. And, I mean, it was there and all the way up to the breast, and everything was hanging out. This is America. And then we spread this stuff globally. And the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. Okay, we're all about the emotion, aren't we? All about feelings. And the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality. I mean, you think about, not that the Middle East is a wonderful place, but all these other countries, what would they be without our influence, without our media, without our Hollywood, without our TV shows, without our music, without our pictures, without our magazines? I mean, folks, think about it. They wouldn't even have, they would have never gone down the paths they've gone. But it says, they've become rich by the wealth of our sensuality. It's interesting. Okay. I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, so that you will not participate in her sins and receive of her plagues. Simple enough. God says, get out of it. You know, that could be figurative. That could be physical. Get out of her, my people. Christians and Jews. The Jews are one of the most lost groups on earth right now, folks. They vote liberal. They vote Democrat. They vote against abortion, or they vote for abortion. The Catholic Church, a friend of mine, a gal who went in to give money to the church. She lives right down the road. And the father said, is your house the house with that Trump sign out front? And she said, yes, it is, until someone stole it, father. Do you know who stole it? And he just looked at her. And she said, do you not want my money, father? And he goes, oh, no, we'll take your money. This is the church of supposedly a Christian church, Catholic, you want to call it what you want, but that you know, wants somebody that is pro-abortion, pro-homosexuality, and now we've embraced homosexuality. Homosexuality is a sexual deviancy. It's a serious problem. And granted, people can do whatever they want in the privacy of their own homes, and they don't need to be granted special rights. I think it's that simple. For her sins, now here, I heard another voice from heaven, come out of her, my people, that you'll not participate in her sins and receive of her plagues. For her sins of, this is another sign, okay, now we're getting kind of specific. Her sins have what? Piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. So now the World Trade Centers were the tallest buildings in the world. They were piled up as high as heaven. They were very, very tall, a big stack of pancakes. It was height. Now, there's height involved here. It doesn't say her sins have been spread across the globe. It says they're piled up as high as heaven. The amount of commerce that was represented in the World Trade Centers would have been the largest economy on Earth. If you took every company that was represented there, including the Federal Reserve, the IRS, and you know, Merrill Lynch and Google, you name it, they had a presence there. You add up all of their general revenue in a year, and you have the number one economy in the world represented there. And then here we go. Pay her back even as she has paid, and give back to her double according to her deeds. Pay her back double, it says. So now we're back to two. In the cup which she has mixed, it says, Give back to her double according to her deeds. In the cup which she has mixed, mix twice as much for her. So it's a double payback. There's two buildings about ready to go down. To the degree that she glorified herself, and boy, did they ever, and lived sensuously, just what, you know, stimulating the nerve endings, to the same degree give her torment and mourning, for she says in her heart, I sit as a queen, and I am not a widow, and I will never see mourning. So in America, we got this mentality, I sit as a queen, yet I'm not a widow, and I will never see a bad thing happen. I sit as a queen means, I don't have a king. We don't have a king, and it's not because the king died. It's just a representation of kind of a twisted representation of our government. It's explaining that we don't have a king. And we also had the attitude, I will never see mourning. For this reason, in one day, her plagues will come. Pestilence, mourning, famine, and she will be burned up with fire, for the Lord God who judges her is strong. Now we're down to one day. You take a big city. This is talking about a city that's the most powerful financial city in the world. Now he's saying in one day it's going to burn up. Hiroshima is the only example we can even compare that got nuked. Nothing else has happened like that. But God's strong, it says. And now, and the kings of the earth who committed acts of immorality and live sensuously with her will weep and lament over her when they see the smoke of her burning. Anybody who was around for 9/11, that's obvious. Standing at a distance, of course, because of the fear of her torment. Now start thinking about terrorism, torment, fear of torment. Saying, whoa, whoa, the great city Babylon, the strong city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come. The trade towers went down in 56 minutes between each other. In 1 hour, the biggest, most powerful, greatest city in the history of the world, according to the scripture, is going to go down, that controls the commerce and morality for the whole earth. 1 hour. How can you do that? That's not possible. But it was. And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. The number one consumer of cargo in the world was the United States of America, but through New York. New York was the hub of the United States. It was our heart. The heart of the U.S. was New York. And the financial district was it. And the World Trade Center was at the heart of the financial district. That was the heart of the financial district. Now, here's where we get more specific. Cargoes of what? Gold and silver and precious stones. Now, gold and silver, the bottom of the trade towers had the highest storehouse of gold in the world. That's where the COMEX was located. And there's a whole bunch of weird stuff that went on there I won't get into today. And precious stones, you know, obviously the largest consumer of diamonds and pearls, it says, and fine linen, purple and scarlet, or fine linen, purple, silk, and scarlet. Okay, so you get into the purple, silk, and scarlet thing. This is interesting because purple is the dye that comes from a special snail in Israel that is actually royal blue, and with a certain time, it kind of fades to purple, the color of our flag. Royal blue, white, fine linen, purple, and scarlet. White, red, and blue, simple enough. And every kind of citron wood, every article of ivory, every article made from very costly woods, and bronze, and iron, and marble, and cinnamon, and spices, and incense, and perfume, and frankincense, and wine, and olive oil. And actually, the olive oil, this is actually ironically translated improperly. The word that was used for olive oil is eleion, which actually means fuel oil. Back then, they would use olive oil, but it really means fuel oil. So whoever translated this didn't put it together. It's saying that this country consumed fuel oil. And we know who that is. Of course, fine flour, wheat, cattle, sheep, cargoes of horses and chariots and slaves and human lives. Well, here's another interesting. These words need to be translated in Greek. The word for chariots, okay, in this is reed or redi. I guess it's redi. It means a special type of vehicle having four wheels, okay? So this isn't talking about chariots. It's talking about cars. And I can go through this. I don't have time today, but this literally, it's so ironic and blow your mind. So, and it goes down and it says cattle, sheep, cargoes of horses, chariots, and slaves and human lives. We've got so much stuff going on behind the scenes we don't even realize. We've got everyone is in debt in the nation of America. And this is, you know, we've got sex slave trade. All this stuff was being included that God saw. And when you add it all up, no other country, no other city, no other location on earth consumed all these things simultaneously but the World Trade Centers of New York. Then it says the fruit you long for is gone from you. What do they call New York? The Big Apple. The fruit you long for is gone from you, and all things that were luxurious and splendid have passed away from you, and men will no longer find them. The merchants of these things who became rich from her will stand at a distance because of the what? Fear of her torment. Terrorism. Weeping and mourning, saying, woe, woe, the great city, she who was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, okay, red, white, and blue. Woe, woe, the great city who was clothed in red, white, and blue, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour, such great wealth has been laid waste. And they both went down in 56 minutes. Every shipmaster, every passenger, and every sailor, and as many as make their living by the sea, stood at a distance. And then it talks about how it went down, and I'm out of time. But I just wanted people to understand, this is the transitional point in the globe. I'm a firm believer in it. Some people disagree. Good for you. But there's everything here fits. There's nothing that I have to exclude and say, well, that disagrees with the theory. The biggest, greatest, best building in the history of the earth goes down. It represents everything financial and immoral, folks. There's nothing better to explain it than that. That was the turning point of the globe. Now, America is in a critical crossroads. We're probably heading into Armageddon. Simple enough. Biblically secure your wealth. Give Coins Plus a call. 444-0044 or toll-free 877-TAP-COIN or through our website, coinsplus.com, 401ks, IRAs. You got it. We do it. Take care. God bless. I appreciate your loyalty to the show. Thank you again for tuning in, and we will be back soon enough. Bye-bye.